This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Okay. The two-man game, but we'll get it. I heard it. You guys heard it.
I thought these were vets, man. I thought these were seasoned veterans.
I've been off the air for a few days. Nothing like jumping back on the air for the first time in a while with some studs in studio here. Of course, normally around 11:30 on Mondays, we do the Brock Wisney Show, and it's so much fun. I love that. Brock, of course, is in studio. We've got Quinn Danker, superstar of not just the night, man, but your comeback story has been phenomenal. So we'll get into that. And Coach Steve Smiley. Congrats, all three of you guys, on an amazing win over the Colorado Buffaloes yesterday. That was awesome. Quinn, man, well done.
Well, thank you. It was just a lot of fun. I was just blessed to be able to be out there with the teammates again and play basketball. Like, that was just we were just talking about off air, like, how fun that atmosphere was and how cool of a game that was to be able to play in as a group. And it was just a lot of fun all the way through.
You broke your hand like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And you're out there playing. I got tennis elbow in July. And I'm like, no, to my wife, I can't lift that. I have tennis elbow. And then we're watching. I'm like, babe, you know, he broke his hand like less than a month ago. And she's like, why can't you do stuff then? Because, man, that was amazing.
You know, the more I think about it, it's just surreal how it all worked out. When I first found out about it, that I broke my hand, that they said I was going to be out 2 months. But I was just kind of determined that I wasn't going to make it last that long. You know, Maddie Ford is the best athletic trainer in the game, and she's really helped me thus far. But, you know, it was a lot of – I really have to owe it all to God, too, just because I spent a lot of time just praying that, you know, healing over my hand. And
it worked.
Kind of a miracle. I got cleared 12 days post-surgery.
Wow. Incredible.
And the doctor said he'd never seen anything like it when he looked at my x-ray. Like, if you saw my x-ray – first time, it was like, man, like, this is that's a brutal fracture.
Yeah.
You know, and then sees my second x-ray and he's like, what in the world happened in 12 days? Christmas miracle, I guess.
33 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, perfect from the free throw line. I mean, yeah, something worked, Coach. I mean, how big of a – obviously, we didn't do the podcast last week, so yeah. You and I might have talked a little bit about that. But when I see on X, I saw the Bears' Twitter accounts, like, look who's back in the starting lineup. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That happened pretty quick.
Yeah, Quinn's performance motivated me so much this morning because, you know, I had a wrist injury. I fell off my bike in the fall, and everyone knows, and I had a break. It was, you know, I didn't break it, but I was so motivated. I finally got my first underhand pull-up today. I did one of them.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
For whatever reason, the overhands are okay, and, like, this grip, but you get to the underhand, like, I just couldn't today. I was like, I got to try. That's I got motivation. One. I
Quinn
shut
motivation.
It down. I got one. I got one in. And it was like, hey, man, it's just positive signs of growth. But, yeah, I mean, we haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
You know, you used to have a thicker beard, as
yeah.
did I.
Yeah, I
we
removed
both,
it.
We
now
both
it's
trimmed
back.
Up. Yep. Yeah, man. It's the new style.
I had to get ready for the game.
I'm growing it out for you guys. I'm going to try.
Yeah. Brock's got the beard going.
Yeah, Brock's the last one. So, but, no, it's where are we going with all this? I mean, yeah, we're just excited, right?
86-81 over the Colorado Buffaloes, a team that – pretty darn good.
They're good.
They've had a lot of great games, and they've won a lot of big games already. And we know the history, too. It's been a little while, apparently, since UNC has beaten the Colorado Buffaloes.
1936 is from what everyone keeps telling me, which really is roughly 90 years, right?
Yeah.
I heard 80. Yeah. I was like, 80.
89 is what I heard.
Roughly 90, yeah.
Someone said 89-year slump. But
One of our great listeners shot me a text, and he actually sent me the box score of that game.
It's amazing.
So I'm going to talk about that later on. But CU at the time had they only played five players. They didn't even play have a bench. I don't even know if they had a basketball back then. I don't even know what they used.
I'll tell you what, those five guys were very happy then if they never got subbed out. Those five guys were happy.
Oh my gosh, what?
Yeah, those guys are happy.
Well, and this was a crazy environment too. We were talking about this a little off the air. The last time I believe, or one of the Buffs' home games, was when the wind happened, and they're like, nobody get out there in the wind. It's crazy. Don't come to the game. But the families came. They ended up hooking up some people for this game. So extra people were there ready to go.
I mean, it was like they listed like almost, 8,500. And sometimes you list it like that and you're like, they're not 3,000 people here. There was 85. That thing was rocking.
And that's huge considering it's like a couple days after Christmas. It's right in between, the crazy time with New Year's and Christmas, too. So to get that packed of a stadium or an arena is amazing.
It was awesome. And the CU fans showed up. They had students there. I mean, they had all the little gadgets and things to distract you on free throws and things. They had all of it, and so
they had the faces up.
It was real. So our guys they had to get it done in a legitimately hostile environment.
Yeah, it was really honestly just as a basketball fan, it was just an amazing game. I mean, back and forth. Nobody was really pulling away when it felt like, even there was a moment where the Buffs looked like they might kind of pull away for a second, and bam, you guys would deliver every single time. But Brock, talk to us, man, like the player mentality playing in a tough environment like that. When you see him go up by five or whatever the biggest lead was, what's going through your brain right there?
I think we've mentioned it a lot, but you look at our past games, the sense of belief that we have with this team is kind of different. Like I know Smiley mentioned it, we go into Texas Tech and we fully believe we're going to go in there and win, even down a few guys, down Quinn, our leading scorer. And I think it was no different this game, right? So no matter how much they got up, even if they got up like 10 or 14 like they did in those past, like teams have in the past games, I don't think it would have changed our mindset. We're a team that's, we're veteran and we got a lot of young guys trying to prove themselves and play hard too. And I think that combination really leads to a team, that's almost delusional in a way when it comes to those moments.
What speaks to that, too, like around the four-minute mark, still tight game, you guys had a couple of possessions, a couple turnovers where it was kind of getting sloppy. And I'm thinking, oh, no, is this going to be that point? Is this going to be that point where the Buffs take advantage of this, but you guys just kept firing back? That, to me, sometimes is more difficult when you do get into a stretch like that, Coach. You're going to get in those stretches any time in the game, but 4 minutes left in a tight game, that's tough.
Yeah, we were up 8, 76-68, and there's a couple of really weird, unfortunate things happened with some turnovers, and they took advantage of it, and which is fine, but, to be up 76-68 and then going back to the film, we were down 80-78, so, I mean, what's the math say on that, Brady? That they went on a 12-2 run, literally in about, 2 minutes. That thing evaporated. Yeah. And that's when the crowd really woke up. The crowd was like, there was a deal.
It was loud.
Yeah, we ran a deal with, we're playing a big lineup with Brock at the four and Egan at the five. And usually to get an easy catch, we can kind of screen Brock through to get Egan the catch, which we did. And there's always one last guy in the corner, but they never really run it, our big because Ibu's there and you're not going to run off the slant. The guy did. And even if Ibu was screaming at the top of his lungs, there's no way Egan could have heard him anyways because it was too loud in there. Mm-hmm. And so the guy just ran and stole Egan's ball from behind and with no vision of it. And so the crowd was just, it was awesome. But that's what you kind of live for too, to be in. Like you can't shy away from those moments. You got to embrace. We always say embrace the coverage. Like embrace that moment. Like how many kids growing up, as basketball players, they just want to taste that moment one time in their lives, and here we are. And as I looked at the staff, it was like a tie game with 3 minutes to go. I was like, dude, we're 3 minutes away. Mm. You know what I mean? And everyone's excited. Yeah. And again, there's bigger mountains we have to climb. But in terms of for our program and stuff like that, was a big mountain, to climb as the last team that we hadn't beat in the last 6 years or whatever, and they're all road wins too, and those are the most fun, to get that thing done.
Well, again, the history there of course Coach Boyle's history with UNC. There's a lot of different connections, but Quinn, for like we talked about, for you to be able to come back in this game, I mean, it's huge because now next up is conference play. Mm-hmm. So for you to get right back in, and like I said, it doesn't look like the hand's bugging you at all with 33 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be like that movie, what was it, Rookie of the Year, where a kid breaks his arm and he's actually a better pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You were pretty damn good before.
Unlock some stuff.
So maybe we unlocked even more at some point. I'm not sure, but it was pretty magnificent.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that movie? Did I date myself?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. That's good. I know Disney movies
Rookie. Maybe you should break your other hand, Quinn. No, put another metal rod in. Have 40 points.
I don't want to do that again.
I mean, did you expect that kind of game, though?
Honestly,
I mean, you're a good player, man. You're a great player.
I never go into any game really expecting anything. Especially last night's game, I was kind of just like, man, all I want to do is just go out there and do my best and kind of like let whatever happened happen. I was just grateful to be out there playing basketball again. Sitting on the sideline for 2 weeks sucks. It's the worst. You know, obviously I love cheering on my teammates and doing everything else, but it is so much more stressful sitting on the bench watching my teammates than it is actually being in the game. Being in the game is like whatever. Like you can – if the, you know, like I felt bad for throwing Egan that pass on our little chin play just because – I should have seen Ibu's guy running through because he left a little bit early. I should have seen that. But it's like I can blame myself for that. When you're on the sidelines, just like, mm-hmm. You know, you just kind of lose your mind a little bit.
Well, that's what it's like. It's all about picking each other up, right? Because it's going to be ups and downs. Like we mentioned, I threw a great assist pass to Coach Smiley.
Yeah. You know,
I caught it with two hands, too.
And the Buffs run. And then we got, like, Quinn comes and picks me up the next play with the right-hand post hook, right? So, I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, just being teammates
for
and
sure.
picking each other
up. Well, okay, so I take my notes. And Coach, I'm going to show you my notes sometime, just watching
sure.
the game. And since we're all tight here, you know, I wrote right here, Smiley was pissed at the 8-10 mark after Yamazaki made a quick bucket, and you were furious.
Yes.
At that point, you guys take a three-point lead. So can we go through that?
Yeah, for sure. And we burn – I don't like to burn timeouts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't – like the timeouts at the end of the game when the situations arise, you want to have as many bullets in your gun as you can. So we don't like to just recklessly burn timeouts, especially in the second half. In the first half, you have one timeout, you can – you use it or lose it, and you try to save that till the end of the first half. But if you got to burn one because of momentum, whatever. But, it was – I didn't really know what was going on, but, you know, it's getting tight, and we got a bucket. I think maybe Brock got a bucket, or I can't.
I think we hit a three to go up six.
Well, it was before this, before that part of it, something. And then it's on a make, and they came down, and Sebastian, and I've been bumbling his name, you know, Coach Reed, his pronunciations are the worst, but we'll call him Ronchick. Ronchick, so he came down, and we didn't really have him covered. And so he got it, and he drove in for a pretty easy floater. It was a two. And it's like, what? This is on a make, right? And, like, we shouldn't get scored on a make because we have confusion in matchups. Mm-hmm. And they do play really fast, so that's part of it. Then we came down, and we ran the 50-push bow, and Brock had a great pass to Ibu. And we knew, we thought, if they didn't double Brock, but we thought we'd get a good look for that. And Ibu bangs a three. We go up four, right? And the same thing happens on a make. They come down, and he's wide open again, and he bangs a three because no one's guarding him. And it wasn't Ibu or Brock or Quinn or Zach, and it would have been Egan at the time. But it was more like a mentality, like, okay. It was more like – and I, like everyone asked me last night, like, why are you so mad? You guys are up. It's like, no. Like, we're literally puking the game away.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot trade buckets with them. And, again, in transition, we did a pretty good job with how fast they are. But in transition – on a miss, it's different. It's like, hey, like, it's a little bit chaotic. We always say mismatches don't beat you, open shots beat you. But we're letting open shots beat us on a make, which never happens. And so it's more like, we're not doing this anymore. So burn the timeout. And two, it's like, I can fake be furious with these guys. Ibu's like, I don't know, 30 years old, right? Zach's been in college forever. And Egan's been in the program 3 years. So, like, Egan, this is his third year. I cannot do that with guys that have been in the program 6 months, 5 months. They don't really know what it is because they can perceive my anger as, like, coach doesn't believe in me or we've already lost. You know, like, but I can bark at these guys, at all five of these guys. It wasn't about one guy. It was like, you five guys got to figure it out. That's why I was going at everybody. Because we're playing so well and we're making all the right plays and we're just giving it right back, and you cannot do that. That's how every team that's – I mean, I watched way too much CU stuff over the break. Portland State had them on the ropes. Mm-hmm. They made a mistake like that. Mm-hmm. Just live in our league. Montana State on the ropes. Eastern Washington overtime. Cal Baptist. They're up the whole in these little, and we just call them paper cuts. And a paper cut's not that big of a deal. It kind of hurts, right? Yeah. Maybe a couple you know, drops of blood. But you start paper cutting your whole body, you're going to bleed out.
100%.
And I felt like we were bleeding out, and it was nothing they were doing. It was what we were doing. And so we had to stop the game and just recalibrate. And then we got another – it worked out well for us because we got the timeout. And then we got another media literally 10 seconds later, and we were really putting somewhere and tearing these guys minutes-wise too. So it really too was like, hey, you're going to get two – you're going to get double timeouts here to catch your body and catch your breath. But going back and watching, you know, watching it in at the crib – the first one was egregious. The second one, they pushed it down pretty quick where Sebastian hit the three. That was moving. But the first one, and these guys will see it in film in about 2 hours, like it was just egregious. It's like that should not have happened. But we were getting tired, and so you know we had to shock the body a little bit. And you can do that with old guys, and like you said, veteran guys, and they don't take it the wrong way. But you do it with guys that are new or young, and they can. And now the moment you've killed your team. Like you can't kill the team, but you can do that with these guys, and they can reach them and say, "Coach is right, man. Let's figure it out." As opposed to, "Coach doesn't believe in us. We're losing." No, like they probably got together and said, "Screw coaches." Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But like they can handle it, and it was fine.
Well, what does that mean for you guys as players? I mean, because I noticed those things, and you always wonder what type of player. Because some type of player in those moments, as Coach mentioned, they could crumble at that. But other coaches view that as, he freaking wants this game. Okay. I mean, he really wants this game. So as players in that moment, what's going through your head, Brock?
Yeah, I think that we've been around the coaching staff and Smiley for so long that we kind of just know how it works. And like he said, it's more so we understand he's just trying to get us like motivated, a little bit more adrenaline, a little bit more detail on the other end. And we, you know, after the timeouts, we always come together in a little huddle and we're just like, we say one or two things. So we're like, either like, let's be more detailed here. Let's come out here and have some fun, right? In those moments, kind of, you know, just being like breathe a little, like just relax, and let's come back together and, like Coach said, recalibrate a little. But yeah, I mean Quinn's a guy that always speaks on those things. I mean,
yeah, no, I remember when I first decided I was going to come to UNC, I told Smiley, I was like, "Dude, you can yell at me as much as you want to." Like, because in this,
Smiley's like, "Yeah, let's go."
And I'm not really a yeller.
He's not. Well, but in this day and age, too, like you can't really yell at guys; they'll just hop in the portal and do some weird stuff. But like, I was like, you know, I've grown up that way. I was like, dude, just give it to me real because I know he's competitive. That's why I'm coming here. Like, just tell me how it is. And so that's something I've always respected. And I was like, you know, we weren't getting it done in that moment. And he is every single right to get on all five of us at once. And that's exactly what we needed too. And then it's on us as players too to, you know, not get emotional about it. Just understand what, like, you got to see the message within the message.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how it's getting delivered, you need to understand what he's trying to say. We weren't getting it done in defensive transition. And if we want to win the game, make or miss, we have to get back and we have to match up. And so that's all we talked about in the huddle. He probably thinks we're just talking smack.
No, we don't. We're like supporting what you said.
Yeah. Well,
we won't stand for any Smiley slander, I promise.
No, the thing that's cool too is like, there was enough time in the game. It's like 8 minutes left, 4 minutes left, right? And they started making the run. It was a totally different timeout for us. It's like, guys, we came in there, put a smile on our face, said, "We're up four, and there's 1 4-minute war left." Like, if you told us these were the cards we were dealt, because they were coming back. They just scored two, got to the 4 minute timeout. And it's like, and these guys, like, they had joy. Like, you got to have competitive. And, you know, Brock, you know, Rev Brock always kind of finishes the pregame, you know, whatever talks. But, like, he talks about joy a lot. Like, let's get out there and let's have joy. Mm. And like, again, it just goes back to, like, you know, if you're competitive and you're in that arena and you're up four with 4 minutes to go, and you know it's not going to be easy. But it's like, man, like, let's go get this thing done. So that was a totally different timeout. And that's what it usually is more strategy and, okay, here's what we got to do, and the next thing, here's the next two calls, here's the coverage. You don't have enough time to just get in there and just rant and rave. That's just wasting time and energy. But the guys did a good job of responding, and they solved it. They solved it from there. Like, we never had that issue again.
Yeah, and I know, Brock, you mentioned that a couple weeks ago when you guys were in Texas, playing Texas Tech, and I was like, what, seeing that kind of place, you know, with that atmosphere, and you said, man, I'm just warming up with joy. You know, you mentioned that, too, so that's kind of
it's a long, grueling season, right? Yeah. So if you're going to go into it and just, you know, have anxiety and nervousness and not even wanting to play, then it ruins a lot of stuff. So I think that's something that makes this team so special is Just the atmosphere and the culture that's been created kind of from the start is just like one that's just happy to be around each other, one of kind of almost love, right? Mm-hmm. So you like I've been a part of like four teams here, and this is the one team that like you don't hear negative stuff ever.
Yeah.
Like you don't hear negative stuff about Smiley, like, you know, players upset in the past maybe. You don't hear negative stuff about like our lift today or about a long practice, which makes every day fun. Like there's no guys that are complaining, and the young guys, and that's something that can carry on for years, and it's something that's pretty cool to see.
Quinn, for you, I mean, you transferring over here, there was not like a guaranteed. I just like this the story about you because you come over here, you have these conversations with coach, and coach is probably being honest. Like, we got this dude named Jaron Riley who's going to be the starting point guard.
Jaron and Zach both.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you still come over going, I want to be with this program. I want to be with this coaching staff. You were phenomenal last year, though, in that role and started some games, obviously, but you played that role so perfectly. And I think that's part of the reason made this transition so great for you. And then here you are, both you guys sitting in this room are probably in those conversations of Big Sky Conference Player of the Year. It's fascinating to me, that decision, what went into that.
I wanted to be a part of something way bigger than myself. You know, I went through a lot just like mentally and within my own self when I was at Idaho. And then I had to learn a lot about myself. And, you know, I spent a lot of time praying about it. And I was just like, you know what? God, for some reason, you're telling me UNC, I'm just going to lean into it and trust you. And so I told Coach, I was like, Coach, I want to come be a Bear. I remember calling him on that day, and I was just like, I want to come be a Bear. And honestly, I didn't know it yet, but it was the best decision I ever made. I was completely content with how, like, I was completely content with just ending last year as my senior year and just trying to do whatever I can to help the team win. I knew that. Like when the whole JUCO thing came out, I mean, Smiley, yeah. Like, what in the world?
I remember
is
we
this?
Talked. Yeah,
like what even is this? And he's just like, dude, I have no idea. And we were just kind of laughing about it. And I was just like, man, this is a gift, you know. And I think my approach, my first years of college, I feel like I was always just looking forward to the next thing and never really present being where my feet were. Like, I was always just kind of like worried about what was going on and what was next. And this year, I'm trying to slow the clock down in every single way I can. It's impossible. Can't really do it, but I'm really trying to. I don't want time to go by fast. Like Brock was saying, that's the kind of the culture of our team right now. Every single grueling lift or every single crazy travel day or practice or whatever the situation is, I'm trying to soak it all in and make it last longer and longer, just because we've got how many more months of our college basketball career
left? 3 months at most.
Yeah, you got one section down with the non-conference schedule.
And so, like, that was my last non-con of college, you know? And so I'm really just trying to slow down the clock and enjoy it as much as I can, because I love this team. I love the players. I love the coaching staff. I love the school. I love everything about it. And so I'm just really trying to slow down the clock.
And you can see that. Like, I note this because I think it's special. I think it's important. But a lot of the fun things that you guys do, social media to promote games, I mean, you'd probably be an actor, too, if that's something you want to do at some point. But you can really feel that. And I remember telling Smiley this the first time I interviewed you was over phone, and I was like, that dude's going to be a head coach someday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can just kind of feel that.
Yeah. Well, and going back to, like, what Brock said about, like, the team, and it's, like, I love every team that we've ever had, and we've had a bunch of good teams, but every team's different. But this team is really unique in the sense, like, you know, they talk about, like, everyone loves each other, and that's true. But then what happens is just simple math. And in a college basketball team, we're all rolling with 15, 16 dudes. You can only play 8 guys. And the simple math says that on most teams, half the team is going to really enjoy it, right? And half the team is going to wish they were playing, which they should. Everyone should want to play, and everyone's good enough to play. But you can't play 16, you know what I mean? And so what's so unique about this team, like our scout team. So we beat CU. Our scout team beat us the day before. We went live. They've beaten us probably 5 times. Yeah. And that is a shout out, you know, in different positions. But Caden Erickson, who's redshirting this year, Steven Ramirez, who's redshirting this year, Will Dixion, redshirting this year. So those three, Walker Asp, who is a redshirt freshman, has a chance to be a really good player. And then Hunter Caldwell. Those, and Hunter's playing on our team, but he's still on scout team.
Yeah.
So those 5 guys, when we go live like 2 days before, it is an absolute war. I don't know who's good. They've beaten us 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Like, and legitimately too. We don't even tilt the deck. It's just like, this is what it is. Win the possession. And we don't tell our guys what's coming. Like, there's some mystery to it, and the scout team has been prepped by the scout coach. But, like, those guys buying into their roles, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And so, like, we have a team that, like, everyone, while you don't have to be happy with your role, because you might play 3 minutes every third game, and you want to play 20, 30, everyone wants to, but, like, you don't have to be happy about it, but can you embrace it? Can you dive into something bigger than yourself? And that's what makes this team so special, is we all preach and talk about it, but to actually do it, there can't be 20 teams in the country that are like this right now. And I'm telling you, it's weird and it's unique and it's special.
Yeah, you get that vibe. I mean, even the funny, you know, the fun thing we do every week with your game ball. Like, Brock, the game you had against Texas Tech, I'm like, you got to give yourself a game. He's like, somebody else is passing me the ball, man. Yeah. I mean, that's that real mindset. Real. But I do have to ask, who are you giving the game ball
well,
to?
Well, we got two game balls.
Okay.
We didn't do Denver.
That's
also.
Right. We didn't do. Okay. I need to bring my pins.
I'll just go Denver real quick. Ring Neary, double-double. Yeah. What, 15 yeah. and 13? 13. Like that. Yeah. Great game for him.
Highs, or one career high, yeah.
Colorado, I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's a tough one. You know, it's a tough one.
I'm not sure, but I think a guy named Quinn Danker gets that game ball for sure.
Your closet's going to be full with all these. Yeah. Brock's going to buy these balls at the end of the season. Yeah. He's going to find
like
a bunch of them.
Six game balls right now or something.
I think, yeah.
We got some old camp balls.
Yeah, we can give those.
we need to give them out.
I'll sign it and give it to you, Brock. The Brock's game ball.
They're all signed.
I would actually put that in a case.
No, we got them.
Let
me know.
Collection of Brock autograph balls.
It's like a violation.
Worth a lot of money someday.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a violation of some kind.
Oh man, this was such a special game. And again, throughout the show today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the old box score, too. But now you guys start up Big Sky Conference play coming up this week, so later this week. So now it kind of this mentality kind of shifts. I know you guys all got to run, but you know we just want to wish you the best of luck. That was a fun game, and this team, Coach Smiley, you as this head coach for this Bears team, I've been covering and doing this show ever since. And it has been such a blast and such a joy to follow this program and to meet these great players that you're bringing in.
We appreciate it. Yeah, and we, you know, it's a quick flip. You know, it's a quick flip. Montana State's really good. This is the hardest trip. All the games are hard, but the Montana road trip. But that's great. Like, let's embrace it and
let's
get ready for it. And the one thing when we agreed to play this game with CU, it initially was looking like it was going to be a Monday game, and we were like, "This is too close to the conference games. Can we push it to Sunday?" And both sides agreed to do it, and it gives us a chance to have a proper preparation. But the biggest thing right now is bodies and recovery and this and that. And that's where I just believe we have a really mature team to get themselves better mentally and physically so that we have the best chance we can on the road. But, yeah, we're excited. We appreciate what you do. If we don't have people like you spreading the gospel of the Bears, no one knows. So we appreciate what you do, Brady.
You guys make it easy. I mean, it's easy. Brock, this is technically like the start of your show now. Do you have any, like, one question for each – I told you to bring questions.
I was going to ask Quinn, what was your mindset, I would say, going into that last media? What specifically was running through your head?
Do you want to know the real answer?
Yeah, I do.
So, the little Johnson kid came over to me, and we were just, you know, he was all stressed out. Like, he's a freshman, you know, really good player, really good player. He was just all stressed out, and I asked him, "You stressed out?" And he was like, nah. I was like, because, bro, I'm starving right now. Like, I would love a burger.
You said that to him?
I said that to him. And he was like, "Are you insane?" I was like, "Nah, I'm just hungry." And then that was like right until – and then I think they scored. Like, Hargreaves hit that tough, like, little pull-up, whatever. Yeah. And then we got down to the dribble down, scored. And honestly, I was just kind of – my whole, like, mindset was just this – how cool is this? Mm-hmm. You know, every single person in this arena has been standing for over 10 minutes. Since there's 3 minutes left in the game, they were standing and no one ever sat down, even for a timeout. Yeah. We have all our boosters just screaming behind us, like, while we're in our timeouts. And it was just cool. Like, that was just a fun environment. And I didn't think I was going to be able to play in this game. Like, last year, missed it because of my shoulder. Missed Texas Tech. And I was like, man, I want to play against one of these teams. And so, like, the fact that the game came down to that was just so fun. And I loved every second of it. So I was just like, man, I'm just going to keep improving and cherish this moment as much as I can. That was kind of my mindset.
Yeah, it's Quinn Danker answer.
I love it. Great questions yield really wonderful answers sometimes. Yeah. So I like that. You got one for Coach Smiley there?
Well, more lighthearted one. Who do you have, you know, the 1936 Bears or the 2025 Bears? It seems like, you know.
Probably hasn't seen the film Yeah, we could track it down.
Smiley might have watched the film. He's a film junkie.
I'd like to watch the film before I make an answer on that. But I think the modernization of basketball, I think I'll go with us. I think our pace would be a little bit too much for the 1936 version. But, I mean, shout out to the
1936
version.
They're probably pretty fundamental.
Version.
I don't know.
They're probably pretty.
100%.
Yeah, like, I'd like to actually go back to the rules since you brought the question. I was like, do they still, like, start with a jump ball every possession? Like, when did that change?
Yeah.
Because you know that used to happen back there, right?
Yeah.
After every score, there's a jump ball.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's your history.
We wouldn't have got many
possessions. It's like a five-hour game.
Yeah.
That was good. Good questions, guys. Yeah. Well, fellas, I just appreciate it. Hell of a win for you guys yesterday, and we're looking forward to what the conference is going to bring, because I think this Big Sky, most teams are always pretty good in this conference.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a tough road. It's going to be an entertaining road for us.
Yeah. Grinder, for sure.
For sure.
All right, fellas. Congrats again. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Brittany.
All right. Quinn Danker, Brock Wisney, Coach Steve Smiley. You guys can find that podcast of the whole show available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com. We'll take a quick break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, so that was great. We just had the star of the day, Quinn Danker, on the program. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Mike? It wasn't great. 33 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. It's radio. They can't see you when you do your goofy things. That's just for me to enjoy, so I got to call you out on it.
Oh, I was saying I'm the star of the day.
Yeah. Missed you, buddy. Quinn was fantastic. Now, I didn't think he was coming back anytime soon. In fact, when Brock and I were talking off air, the day after, a couple days after he broke his hand, it was like, I don't know, man. And I didn't want to say anything, but like Brock did not look optimistic at that point. You know, he's still optimistic about his team, of course. They believe in themselves, and they gave Texas Tech a hell of a game without Quinn. So this is obviously a deep basketball team. But Quinn, and this isn't a new thing, like, the guy's averaging 18.7 points per game, almost 4 boards per game, and 6 assists. He is he's a hell of a player. And Brock Wisney, of course, just a consistent big man for this team. What a win. I think there were 9 or 10-point dogs in this game. And the Buffs are a good team. I'll be curious to see. They got a lot of young guys, too. How do they do as the season kind of progresses for them? But, yeah, it's a bye game. It's what you call a bye game. See who pays them. But this is not a disrespectful loss for the Buffs at all, because I believe in the Bears. Now, it comes down to one game. I guess 3 games. You got to win in your Big Sky Conference tournament to get in. But, man, if they got in on a resume, 10-3 to start the season, this is a hell of a basketball team. 42 minutes after the hour. We got a lot to unpack, Mike. I haven't talked to you since the Broncos beat the Chiefs. The things happened over the weekend that clinched the AFC West for the Broncos, and now all they have to do is beat the Chargers. All the other, you know, mathematical equations, all that is out the door. If you just beat the Chargers, you will be the number one seed in the AFC, which I think is very important for the Broncos. Now, they could still lose to the Chargers and have other teams lose, like Jacksonville and New England, but you don't want to play with that. You don't want to play a dangerous game there. And maybe the Chargers aren't going to play Herbie Hancock, you know, because they're already in the playoffs. And they want to be careful with Justin Herbert's hand situation. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. You know, the Broncos win 20-13 over Kansas City, and Chris, how do you say it, Mike? I should give him more respect because he was actually okay. I mean, he threw for only 66 yards, but he kept some plays alive for Kansas City. Chris Oladokun?
I couldn't figure out how to pronounce it.
I just started calling him Serge Ibaka or something. I couldn't think of his name. But thoughts on the game? Christmas distraction kind of thing? Is it?
It's the Broncos being the Broncos. Like, we're 14-point favorites, so we're only going to win by 7.
Yeah, they don't cover spreads, do they?
No, they don't believe in it.
They don't believe in it. They must not believe in the gamblings. My note here, again, it's been so long. A lot's happened since we talked. I just want to do like a special thing for RJ Harvey. 14 carries, 43 yards, but it was his catches. 5 receptions for 33 yards and a touchdown. Micah, I said this early. RJ Harvey is Sean Payton's Joker. It's not Evan Ingram. It's been RJ Harvey all along. And I think he's, you know, he may not be like a prototypical 15-20 carry running back, but the other things that he does, pretty damn good. Pretty exciting to see. And I'm pretty high on RJ Harvey at this point. Not as like your bell cow running back, but as this joker position that we've talked about a lot, a guy that can do a little bit of everything on the field offensively. That's the guy. RJ Harvey. And Bo Nix made some plays when he needed to the most.
I thought they were going to use Marvin Mims more as that, and really they haven't.
I thought it was going to be Mims or Evan Ingram. You know, much was made about Evan Ingram being the Joker. He even did the social media post where he's the Joker. And, yeah, I was excited to see it, but he didn't really do that in his career before, so I wasn't really holding my breath. But it's been RJ Harvey all along, man. It's been cool. Broncos only get one sack against Kansas City, so the sack record's probably not going to happen unless they just go crazy here in the final game.
How many sacks do the Broncos need now? 12?
I don't remember. Yeah, let me look at that up. Mike Efferding, trying to find it here. Sacks. Where are we? Where is it? I want to find it. They have 64. The record is 72. Am I right on that? Is it 72?
I believe so.
So then 8 sacks in one game.
That has happened before.
It's doable. It's not likely. But this should be a win for the Broncos. I mean, and we're going to go through the standings and all that too. Because I don't know how serious the Chargers want to be in this game now that the Broncos have officially clinched the West and the Chargers lost over the weekend. The Chargers are 6th right now. I guess they could move up with a win and a Houston loss. But the Texans have the tiebreaker over the Chargers, so you could move up a spot and likely play the Steelers in the first round. Okay, we'll get into that. All right, 11:51 the time. We'll talk about the matchups, the teams in the playoffs, and what the Broncos need to do to clinch the number one seed outside of just winning. Well, just winning, and it takes care of it. There's other things that could happen, though. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, gang. It's almost New Year's. The drink of the week at On the Rocks Liquor is Korbel Champagne, because when the ball's dropping, the corks are popping. Available chilled and ready for your New Year's celebration. Open until 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And coming up, they're going to be having their 15-year anniversary party, January 29th through the 31st, Thursday through a Saturday. There's going to be amazing deals, giveaways, a food truck, all that at On the Rocks Liquor. So do me a favor. It's December 29th. You know, you're getting ready to make all those New Year's resolutions and stuff, but you got one more big party in you, whatever. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. All right, coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll talk to the other side. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, will join us. I don't know how much we'll get into that game. He might want to move on, but there's kind of big news for the Colorado Buffaloes, they have announced their next athletic director, and we'll get into Fernando Lovo's story as the AD, the new AD for the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark Johnson will join us, the voice of the Buffs. I want to talk about the Nuggets, too, the Nuggets on Christmas night. That's what Christmas NBA basketball is all about. That was a tremendous game, and I'm saying it, man. Michael, I'm saying it. I got to say it. And I'll explain on the other side. But Nikola Jokic, I believe, is the best to ever do it. Championships be damned. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.